Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mommy Knowledge, where we celebrate the good, better, and best of motherhood. I'm your host, Adrienne, and on this show, we talk all things food, family, and faith to find joy in the chaos of motherhood. As our show continues to grow, we'll provide you with the opportunity to call in, ask questions, and have your voice heard on the topics we're discussing. But at the moment, you can do this through the Blog Talk Radio comment section right below where you're listening if you're online, or you can do this on our Facebook page and always email us questions at mommyknowledgeradio@gmail.com. So originally, this was supposed to be an episode about meal planning and organizing your time as a mother, but as the Holy Spirit prompted me, I kind of changed focus. And I just want to say that Mommy Knowledge overall is not a Bible study program. However, I am led by the Holy Spirit, and that is what guides my directions as a mom. And so that's kind of the perspective that I come from with our show topics and with some of the guiding principles that we talk about and some of the learning pieces that I have. So as I was praying about what I would share today, my message got turned into a whole other direction. And I feel like, what I've written and what I'm going to share with you is definitely something that may be definitely an on-time message for more than a few of us who might be listening to this. So with that, we're just going to dig in. So I am a perfectionist by nature. Anyone who's listening to the program and you know me personally, you know I like to do things well. Now, having two children and a crazy schedule sometimes impacts that, of course, but overall, I'm fairly type A. I like to have things done a certain way. I like to have things done in excellence, and I am kind of a perfectionist by nature. I used to make meal plans that included these beautiful, picture-worthy meals during the week. I still really do have a desire for my son to get a purple in his class every day, and purple is kind of the highest on the behavioral chart that a child can attain during the day. And, of course, I want him to get 100 on all of his spelling tests and everything that he does. I have a desire to be prepared for the day. I have a planner, and I try to color coordinate things so that I can be perfectly prepared for the day. But, the truth of the matter is I'm not a perfect mother, and I have to accept that I never will be. I know this intellectually, so why is it so hard to accept? Well, as mothers, God called us to not only be a virtuous wife, but he called us to be a model for his nature and his character as we mold the little bodies and the minds and the spirits of the precious little children that he entrusted in our care. And when we have a true revelation of that responsibility, it is so easy to get distracted and fall into the quote-unquote, I must be the perfect mom syndrome. We begin to compare ourselves to the TV moms of the past who were able to handle all the things on their own, not realizing that a man, not God, wrote the script of their lives. Now, remember when I said I'm a perfectionist by nature? Well, what I realize is that through Christ, I have a new nature, which means I don't have to yield to that perfectionist tendency. I don't have to live with the pressure of having to have a disaster-free, mistake-free, mess-free, of course we're not having cereal for dinner day. I'm free from that pressure. So let me give you an example, a very recent example. My son today at school, they're doing a living timeline, and he's in kindergarten, so the kindergarten class kind of goes from the beginning of the timeline, and so they have to dress up as Native Americans. So I was excited because I'm like, I'm going to look at Pinterest. I'm going to find some ideas. He's going to have the best little, Native American costume. It's going to be awesome. So, and let me just insert this side note here about Pinterest. Pinterest is an excellent resource to use for creative ideas, to maybe glean some images for dream or vision boards, or to really, find things that you want to try. But what we do as moms especially is we turn it into a visual depiction of our shortcomings and what we, are not able to do or what we will never do. So we might as well just have a quote-unquote I'm just not good enough board, the way that we approach Pinterest. So when you approach it from the right perspective, it's definitely a very helpful tool. So, okay, now back to my story. That's my little soapbox. So I looked at pictures online, and I realized that a lot of the outfits that I was seeing, that they required some seemingly simple sewing techniques. You have to, you know, get the fabric together and kind of sew some things on there together. And it seemed like it would be fairly easy, pretty quick to pull together, no problem. Except I don't sew. I don't know how to sew. I can't sew a button on. I can't hem a pants leg. I really don't know what to do with the needle and thread. My loops, whenever I try to do it by hand, are way too big for it to keep anything together. That's just not a skill that I have. Now, I wish I could sew. I mean, think about the things that I could make if I could sew. You know, a very good friend of mine has three small children, and she can make anything with her sewing machine. And sometimes I wish I could just have a pinch of that talent. She's also heavily involved in her church. She cooks for her busy family of five, even making a month's worth of freezer meals at one time. She works part-time, and she just seems to be the quintessential mom. One day, I told her how much I admired her and how I wish I could do all the things that she does. How I wish that I could sew and make cute clothes and accessories for my children, but unfortunately, I'm just not that creative. Well, when I talked to her about it, she said something soul-piercing to me. She said, when someone seems to put so much effort in one area, there's bound to be an area that's lacking. For her, she does all these things, but her car is a mess. They literally live out of their car because they're always on the go. She also doesn't take the time, like I do, to cook with her children or make fun, cute food crafts with them as often as she'd like because they don't have time for that. There's a lot going on. And it turns out she admired me for that. In other words, if you pull back the layers of the onion, others are not as perfect or as well put together as we think they are. So the revelation here is that we want to be perfect. You know, God put within us a desire for excellence, but the way he defines it is completely different than the way we do. His word says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. That's in Colossians 3:23. When we put all of what we do into what we do, and we do it as an offering unto God, that is what is excellent in his sight. Not that we can put things in perfect alignment and do it perfectly or have someone look at it and say, oh my gosh, I wish I did it as well as she did. It's if we give it to him as an offering. So does that mean that he just gives us a free pass to get up late every day and miss appointments and forget to make our husband's lunch, even though we tried to get it right? No, but the only perfect person that exists is Jesus. But as we strive for excellence, we're able to discern his perfect will for our lives in the process, but it's his perfect will. So as perfectionist moms, we seem to have this, as Psychology Today describes, an invisible internal pressure to accomplish raising a popular, accomplished, happy and successful person. That's what we all want, right? We all want our children to be popular, accomplished, happy and successful. So we also compare ourselves and our children, by the way, to others and criticize ourselves and our progress based on the image of reality that others portray to us. I guarantee, again, that if you pull back those layers of some of those moms that you're comparing yourself against, you'll find it's definitely not what you expected. So what is a perfectionist mom to do? How can we get past this idea of being a perfect mother? Well, I have seven ways for you to do it. So get your pen and paper ready. Number one, realize that you are the perfect mother for your children. God put something unique inside of you that they need. And likewise, he put something unique and special inside of them that you need. No one else can replace what you are to them, no matter how many repins they get on their Sunday dinner. Number two, focus on yourself and your situation. Don't compare yourself to others. I have two children, so I'm not going to compare myself to someone that has three, four, five, or more children because their dynamic is totally different, much like I'm not going to compare myself to someone who has one or no children. Even those that have two children, their situation is still completely different. So it makes no difference from, or it makes no sense, rather, for me to compare my situation to someone else's. We can absolutely look at someone else and say, wow, that's amazing, and admire what they do. But in terms of comparing ourselves with the intent to demean ourselves, that's definitely not something that we should be doing. Because again, if you only knew what some people had to go through to get what they have or to get where they are, or if you only knew what it was really like behind the scenes of everything for them, behind closed doors, you would want to be as far from them in that situation as you possibly could be. Number three, remember, now this is the big ultimate revelation here. Are you ready for this? You are human. Dun, dun, dun. You're human. So we have emotions. We have authenticity. We have a genuineness about ourselves, a realness about ourselves. And so you have the ones that you really stick with are not the ones who always seem to have it together and who are always putting before you the picture of perfection all the time. It's the ones who love you enough and who care enough about you to show you their vulnerable, imperfect side. So remember, you're human. You can show that side too. Again, that doesn't mean to let everything just fall by the wayside, but it means to do it with a different perspective and not the intent for perfection. Number four, control your thoughts. There are two scriptures here. One is don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. I did not take the time to study that reference to kind of point you to it, but I guarantee it's in the Bible. Now, with that, that's basically saying in this kind of context of perfection, don't think that you are perfect because you're not. Don't think that you're higher than what you really are because, again, we're human. No one is ever going to be able to attain the level of perfection like Christ, so there's no reason for us to think that we can. So first of all, have that thought and perspective about yourself in a realistic state. The second scripture here is, as a man thinketh, so is the man. So don't put yourself on this high pedestal, but know that you are a child of God and that you were fearfully and wonderfully made by the Almighty God. God was intentional with the gifts and the unique qualities that he gave to you because he knew that you would have the children that you have today, or the children that you're going to have, for those of you, or maybe us, I don't know, who are not done yet. he didn't want you to have it all. You know, he gave you, things that we see as imperfections, but he sees them as beautiful. He didn't want us to, quote unquote, have it all or have it all together or just be well put together all the time, because then we wouldn't have any need for him. So he needs us in a state of constant remembrance and reverence to him that we need him to fill in those spaces of imperfection for us. Number five. Now, this one kind of goes contrary to, you know, any kind of self-help or self-development piece that you might hear. But number five is, as my best friend says, for real, lower the bar. I mean, I think about some of the expectations that I place on myself as a mom and as a person, as an entrepreneur, as, you know, a church servant, as a wife, all these things. And it's like, who can do all of that? Who? Not me, you know, especially not all in one day. So for me, I have to lower the bar. And I have to think about things in a sense of priority. And then I have to focus on those things that are my priority, because if we look at our list, you can see, you know what, always going to be something on your to-do list that has to get done. But your kids are not always going to be babies. Your kids are not always going to be the age that they're impressionable. They're not always going to be in that state of wanting mommy and daddy around all the time. They're going to grow up. And are they going to grow up with you being present and in the moment? Or are they going to grow up with you wishing that you had more and focusing on your to-do list and being so busy that you don't even have time to look them in the eyes before it's bedtime? We have to think about that. And I'm going to do another show specifically on being present and being in the moment, because that's something that I've had to struggle with and that I've really had to, I have to work at that every day, to be present in the moment with my children. Because, again, they're not going to be children forever. So we've been blessed with the short period of time that God has trusted us to raise them. And he says in his word, it's a temporary assignment, because they're going to grow up, they're going to leave their house, and they're going to live with their spouse and hopefully instill the same, or hopefully the values and the ideals and the philosophies that you've taught them, hopefully that will, you know, go into their families as well. So for me, I have to place my priorities in this order. First, God. If I don't find time to pray during the day, for some people that's early in the morning. His word says, you know, early in the morning, you know, shall we seek thee? I mean, I think I'm paraphrasing there, but it gives reference to seeking him early in the morning. For me, I do stop first thing in the morning, and I put my mind on him, and I intentionally try to put my mind into a positive frame of mind. But I'm praying, you know, I call them walking prayers. I'm praying on the fly all day long. If you pull up to my car at any given time, my mouth might be moving, and thank God for Bluetooth, because it looks like I'm on the phone, but a lot of times I'm talking to God. And my son can attest to you, because he will often go, Mommy, who are you talking to? And sometimes I'm just like, I'm talking to Jesus. You can talk to him too. And he might say something, you know, to God, or he might, you know, say his own little prayer, but he knows, you know, he knows. So again, God is at the top of my priority list. Then my husband and my children. After that, I have to make time for myself. And, you know, of course, depending on what's going on, sometimes I kind of, you know, flip that priority at times if I'm sick or not feeling well. But I'm in the mix there. And then I've got work and friends and family. We have to think about those priorities. And when we don't put them in that order, that's when we find ourselves just doing and being busy for no apparent reason. Have you ever had one of those days where you're just like, I was busy all day. I was doing stuff, but I look at my to-do list and I didn't check anything off. Or I can't even recall what I did an hour ago. But you were busy. You were doing something. That means that your priorities are a little out of whack. And my priorities were very out of whack. And this is a process that I'm in right now. And it's a sense of developing that understanding of, okay, yes, there are things that must be done today in addition to these things that need to be done so that I can make sure that my priorities are in line. And if I have some extra time, here are some things that I could also do to get ahead of the game. And then I make my to-do list for the next day with that same mindset. I might do a show on that later, too. Number six, watch your words. You know, one thing that we really take for granted is our ability to speak, and we don't understand what that spiritually means. And in a sense, our words are vehicles of creativity. When you speak out something, how they say speak life, when you speak out, that is sent out into the air, into the universe, and God's angels can take that and take charge of that thought and that idea, and they begin to create. You speak what you want to see or what you want to be or what you want to happen. You don't ever say anything out of your mouth that is contrary to what God says about you and how you want your situation to be. Because when we do that, we fall into that, oh, I wish I could, I wish I could, I'm never going to be, they're better than me. No, we focus on those unique talents that God gave us and revel in the fact that, hey, nobody else can do what I do and can do it as well as I can do it. They might try to do it a different, but they'll do it a different way, but they'll never be able to do it the way that I can. And be proud of that and thank God for that. And the seventh way that we can kind of get over this whole mindset of being a perfectionist mother is number seven, celebrate the accomplishments and gifts of others. you know, don't sit there and covet their gifts and say, oh, I wish I could do that, or, man, I really want to do that. Celebrate them and say, I'm so glad that you're good at sewing, or I'm so glad that you're good at whatever it is that they're good at, because that's not a gift of mine. That's not something that I excel at. I mean, honestly, if I take sewing lessons, like my mother-in-law has her own alteration business. So if I asked her to teach me how to sew, I'm certain that I will learn how to sew, and I bet I'd be good at it. Would I enjoy doing it? Probably not, because it's not an interest to me right now. And that's one more thing that I would have to add into my day. Oh, I can make my child's, you know, dress. I can make a pillowcase dress. Awesome. That's one more thing on my to-do list. Versus I have several friends who can make pillowcase dresses, and if I want one, I can tap one on the shoulder and say, hey, can you do this for me? And that's one less thing that I feel pressured about that I have to produce. And it's a way to celebrate their gifting and to say how much their gifting is a blessing to you. Again, I'm going to say this part again. If we all had it together and we had everything, you know, so on point, why would we need God? God wants us in a constant state of needing him and acknowledging that he fills in the gaps for us. So we need to be accepting of that and celebrate those gifts of others, because that's his way of filling the gap. What I don't have, my sister has. What my sister doesn't have, her sister has. What her sister doesn't have, I have. And so when we come together, then we create the whole. So hopefully this episode and these tips serve as a source of encouragement for you to be the best mom that you can be for your children and for yourself. Don't compare yourself. Just celebrate what you bring to the table and know that it is perfect in God's sight. So thank you for joining us on this episode of Mommy Knowledge. The conversation does not have to stop here, of course. Go ahead and like us on Facebook and leave a comment on our Facebook page about the episode. Tell us what you think and let me know, are there areas that you feel that you have a perfectionist mindset? Is this a struggle for you? I want to get some dialogue going about this, because I know that this is definitely one of those areas that almost every mom can relate to. You can also email questions or even show topic suggestions to mommyknowledgeradio@gmail.com. So with that, I thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully you'll be with us next week when we're going to talk about comfort food. The holidays are quickly approaching, and when I think about Thanksgiving, I immediately think of a warm house filled with amazing food and family and friends and music, and there's a fireplace, and it's so snuggly and warm, and I'm wearing my stretchy pants. But, you know, it's a time that we use to celebrate, or that we use food to celebrate our thankfulness for what we have. But what happens when we find ourselves running to food for comfort instead of nourishment more often? We're going to talk about that on next week's Mommy Knowledge episode. So don't forget, let us know what your thoughts are today on today's show on our Facebook page, and we'll see you next week. Have a great one.